Welcome. You're listening to A Noise from the Deep,
the Greenleaf Music Podcast.
And I'm Dave Douglas.
I'm Michael Bates.
And welcome to 2015 and our first episode. I'll be talking to Michael Bates about his new record, Northern Spy. We have had some wonderful email from listeners. So once again, the address is podcast@greenleafmusic.com. You can follow what we're doing on Twitter.
Yes.
And on Facebook.
Instagram.
On Instagram. And most notably at the Greenleaf Music website, where we always list the full credits for all the music we play in these episodes. That's greenleafmusic.com.
And you can also go to iTunes, and we would heartily encourage you to review and rate the show.
And a lot of podcasts that I listen to talk about this also. So we would appreciate if you would grab us at iTunes, but there are lots of different places to hear this, and we're trying to expose some music that we think is interesting, along with some of the thought process that goes into making it and sharing it. Greenleaf also, as you know, has a subscription program, and in 2014, all the subscribers got an unreleased collection of Dave Douglas Quintet live from around the world. In 2015, we're doing a serial sessions project where a band of musicians related to Greenleaf is recording 12 tracks at the beginning of the year, and they will be released monthly throughout the year. Nice. And then in a collection towards the end of the year. So that's if you're a Greenleaf subscriber. If you're not, it's easy to do. You go to Greenleaf Music and you'll see there's a button that says subscribe, and you can just check it out and see what's there. You can see these podcasts there. And I guess that's it for now. We'll just get right into this music and talking about Michael Bates and Northern Spy. Welcome, Michael Bates.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Yeah. So we were just listening to a little bit of Northern Spy, the title track of your new CD. Why did you call it Northern Spy?
A couple of reasons. I mean, I have a running tune list and title list, you know, when you're out and about and you hear something that rings a bell. So I was at the Botanical Gardens in Brooklyn, and there was an apple tree called Northern Spy, which I thought was apropos. I'm a Canadian who's been living in New York for 14 years.
Canadian angle here. Yeah.
Michael Blake is on the record. He's also a Northern Spy. And, you know, in some ways I kind of feel like you can take the boy out of Canada, but you can't take the Canada out of the boy. And I think it's fitting.
Where is Bean from?
He's originally from St. Louis and has been in New York. I think we moved to New York about the same time, about 14 years ago.
Great, let's hear a little more Northern Spy. Bass sounds a little different on this record than I've heard you in the past. Was there anything different you did as far as equipment or recording techniques?
I don't think so, actually.
There's almost like a indie rock vibe to the way it's recorded.
I mean, I certainly mixed it with the intent of having some kind of, you know, some boom boom in the bass. You know, one of the things that maybe you're hearing, I don't know, is one of my morning rituals when I get up to practice is I go through a rhythmic little exercise. I work on a bunch of different etudes, and it's literally just dead notes and right hand technique and working very hard on articulation.
Also, maybe it's playing with Jeremy Clemens. There's a certain transparency that allows you to come through in a different way.
Yeah, I have now. We've been playing together maybe 5 years or so, and we've traveled a lot, and I've seen him deal with a lot of different drum kits, and he is a master tuner of drums. It's kind of amazing what he can do, and if he has all these pieces of tape that he puts all over the drums. And when we were mixing it, there's actually literally no EQ on the drums. Mm-hmm. If you meet him and you ask him about tuning, like especially a bass drum, I mean, he could talk your ear off about it. And he focuses a lot on not being in the bass player's frequency.
Let's hear a little bit of this tune that you wrote for him. It's called Beat. So tell me, we talked last year about this collection of blues LPs and vinyl that you did an extensive bit of research on. Mm-hmm. How does the music on this Northern Spy record relate to that?
I mean, I would say there's definitely parts of that. There's a tune called Theme from a Blind Man, which definitely...
Let's hear that in a second.
Okay. I've just been excited about dealing with more familiar sounds, if that makes any sense. So, I've probably in the last 3 or 4 years, I've written 40 or 50 tunes just based on the blues scale. And when I sort of set up a bunch of parameters and took the blues scale and said, okay, so I'm going to write a bunch of pieces that use this exclusively. The parameters are the tune has to have a four chord, but the four chord can be disguised in any number of ways. If you're in the key of C, the four chord could be an E flat major chord.
Right. So it has like a more maybe familiar sound.
Yeah.
Like, compared to maybe the record you did around Shostakovich.
Exactly.
Where the references might be a little further afield.
Sure.
I hear that on this record right away. And the first track on the record is this piece that you call Theme for a Blind Man. And let's take a listen to that for a second. So I was going to ask two things. One, obviously, who's singing? Number two is like how many gigs had the band done before this recording and all the effects that you use? Is that something that you do on the live shows as well?
There's only one effect on the entire track, and that's a little bit of distortion on the bass. There's an overdrive, and most times when you're in the studio recording the bass, you're using two mics. Mm. So we put an overdrive on one of the mics, and it's the other one is just clean, and that kind of maintains the bottom of it. Bean is singing on it, okay. Drummer. Mm-hmm. And Michael Blake has these techniques that he uses a lot on the saxophone where he's playing a lot of his drony stuff and singing at the same time.
Right.
So I guess both guys are singing. So it sounds like there's more effect actually than there is.
Okay, so before we move on to some other topics, I just wanted to mention that I'm listening to this record and there's this song that suddenly sounds really familiar, and it's Days of Wine and Roses, but it's like, I don't think I could imagine it slower. And I'm a guy who likes playing slow tempos, mm-hmm. but this is like kind of, yeah. Is it just something that happened or was there a plan?
We play that tune on gigs occasionally. And with most of the music on the record, I mean, each guy has a skill set that is pretty unique to them and pretty special. And Michael Blake can just play a ballad so well and so soulfully, and has absorbed a language, you know, coming out of Coleman Hawkins and Lester Young, but can also, you know, steer very quickly into, you know, Ornette Coleman land and whatever else. So it was a pretty effortless thing to do, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
I wanted to play it as a ballad because I think it's a beautiful tune. I love the harmony.
Yeah.
I mean, dealing with a trio.
Right. And it opens up a lot of space for you on the bass to, yeah. to find the harmonic.
Yeah.
That's great. Ask you a question that we got in an email. If you could talk about your work with Quincy Nachoff.
Oh, sure.
It's not related to this record, obviously,
but
you've had a lot of important collaborative moments.
Yeah, Quincy's a pretty important guy for me. We went to school together and
reed player,
saxophone player, and clarinetist. And he's someone that I have spent a lot of time playing and traveling with, but also. Someone who was really open and encouraging in terms of my experimenting with compositional elements and texture. And he's someone who was just really game for a lot of stuff. He has a very broad palette.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was, you know, messing around with Russian classical music and that kind of language, I mean, that's something that was very familiar to him, but he's also, you know, a formidable bebop player. And
cool.
So we could go a lot of places.
So, like, you were with Between the Lines,
yeah.
and you've made two records for Greenleaf,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed this new one is on your own label.
It is.
Which is called Stereoscopic Records. It's great. It's a beautiful design.
Thank you.
You know, what was the designer's name?
A guy named Mike Joyce.
Mike,
he has a company called
right.
Swisted, and I own several of his prints that he's done of actually strange hardcore and punk rock gig posters that he's turned into these
Ooh.
Big Swiss pieces of art.
And it says this music was composed in admiration of Curtis Mayfield, Donny Hathaway, Otis Redding, Blind Willie Johnson, and John Coltrane,
mm-hmm.
which I would say certainly puts it in a context. So
yes, it does.
Essex House.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Essex House from Michael Bates. Michael, thanks for the interview.
My pleasure.
Great having you on the podcast, as usual.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have been reading this book that I'm going to endorse. And if you follow me on Twitter at Dave_Douglas, you'll know that I've been leaking little bits of this book. It's the George Clinton memoir, George Clinton, the great musician, producer, recording artist, visionary from Parliament Funkadelic, and P-Funk, and lots of great music. And one of the great things about the memoir is he talks about his early days in Newark, and he talks about when he was probably 9 years old hearing Wayne Shorter practicing and not knowing what to make of it. They already thought the music was being beamed in from another dimension, as we all know. It still is.
Yes.
Also that he had a milk route as a boy in Newark and delivered milk to Sarah Vaughan. And then later in his career, ran into her backstage and said, "I used to deliver your milk." And she gave him a very funny look, as you would. And then realized what he meant. That
like, for actually, real.
For yes. real, yeah. And there's lots of great stories. And he talks about lots of music. And it's interesting because I hadn't really zeroed in on some of that Parliament Funkadelic music in many years. And so it triggered me to go back and listen to it. And it's been really inspiring.
Production on that reminds me of the new D'Angelo record. The
that
Layers.
Is an incredible record. Black Messiah,
mm-hmm.
D'Angelo. And I wanted to just highlight that track that everybody's listening to that I think we may know some of the people that are playing on, Sugar Daddy. Mm-hmm. And Roy Hargrove is playing either trumpet or flugelhorn, and a whole bunch of production was done on his trumpet, and I just love it. I think it's fantastic. So, D'Angelo, Black Messiah, I'll just play a little tiny clip here. She brought the fingers when she said about. She said the promise of the song to you, baby.
If I'm not mistaken, this is our first episode of the new year.
Yes, 2015. Very hopeful for this year.
Let's hope so. 2014.
There were some tough things that happened. Some great music, of course. 2015 has started out pretty hard also.
I would have to say you're right.
What's happening at Paris and
yep.
a lot of loss in the public realm and also in the private lives of
a lot of people we know.
A lot of people we know, friends, family. And incredibly, life goes on.
It's true.
After Je Suis Charlie and all that, everything continues and the spirits of these people that we've lost remain alive in us, in our memories, in our love, in the community.
Wouldn't you say that, that this, in some ways, that's kind of what our role as artists?
I think, yeah, musicians, it's our job to just play better, no matter what, to always try to play better, to feel deeper, to share the spirit of the music more profoundly. That's what we have to always aim to do. And in the face of all these tragedies, that brings it home more than ever. So here's to 2015.
Yeah. And actually, one thing I remember, and I carry this with me a lot, that I've heard you say on multiple occasions, that music is the healing force of the universe.
It is, and I didn't make that up, obviously. But I believe that sincerely. This is my mother's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the flowers bright, declare their maker's praise. This is my mother's world. She shines. Listen.